A better-than-expected report on industrial production was all the market needed to stage a small rally. The Dow added more than 100 points today to close at 9,792. The NASDAQ and the S&P each gained about 1.5%. A source tells the Associated Press that New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo has subpoenaed 5 members of Bank of America's board. Cuomo has been investigating what the board knew and what shareholders did not know about bonuses that were paid at Merrill Lynch before Bank of America purchased Merrill. On Monday, a judge tossed out a settlement the SEC had reached with Bank of America over the same issue. Also today, a report projects New Yorkers' total wages will drop by 4.8% this year and their personal income by 2.7%. The Fiscal Policy Institute says those would be record declines. On this anniversary week of the financial meltdown, President Obama gave his clearest statement yet about his plans to change the way the financial system is regulated.
The old ways that led to this crisis cannot stand. And to the extent that some have so readily returned to them, underscores the need for change and change now. History cannot be allowed to repeat itself.
This was the speech he made to Wall Street leaders on Wall Street at Federal Hall on Monday. We'll be talking about concrete proposals to avoid the next economic crisis all this fall as Congress takes up the issue. Today, a point of view from an economics columnist who is focused on New York. Nicole Gelinas is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute and writes frequently for the New York Post. Welcome to WNYC.
Good afternoon, Amy. Thanks for having me back.
What's right in the Obama plan in your mind and what's not?
What is right is his proposal for credit derivatives, basically treating these tens of trillions of dollars of credit instruments just like we treat all other financial instruments, requiring them to trade on exchanges, requiring speculators and investors in these derivatives to put some cash down behind their bets as they have to in all of the older derivatives markets. So that is something that's commonsensical and much overdue. What is wrong is the emphasis on creating a regulator that would be responsible for systemic risk, really giving that job to the Fed. The problem is this adds more discretion to regulators in the financial industry's assessment of risk, when the lesson we should be learning is that we're not very good at subjectively assessing risk. In fact, we can systemically and catastrophically underestimate it, and that is why you need uniform rules on borrowing, not sort of subjective assessments of what is risky and what is not.
In the piece you did this week for the New York Post, you wrote the reason we're in the mess isn't that the Fed did not think it was responsible for managing financial risk, but because it thought it was doing a great job. Explain what you mean by that.
Right. Well, since the early 1990s, you know, people may remember when Procter & Gamble lost a tremendous amount of money on interest rate derivatives back in 1994. And everyone's response to that was, the regulator's response was, well, maybe a toothpaste company shouldn't be able to dabble in these things. But the banks, of course, are smart enough to do it, and they have all of these systems in place to control the risk, so we don't have to worry very much about regulating them. And, of course, this was the wrong thing to do, because a catastrophic derivatives mistake at Procter & Gamble wasn't a big deal. At 10, 15 banks, it's a global economic catastrophe, as we've seen. So what we need is these uniform limits on leverage, not just for derivatives, but for all investments that banks venture into, everything from mortgage-backed securitizations to all of the rest of it, which, as of now, the president has not said clearly what kind of rules he'd like to put in place governing what kind of limits on borrowing he would have for these things, so that when we do have losses, we don't have all of this unpaid debt behind the losses.
So more regulation of certain types of financial instrument, but not necessarily beefing up the Fed as this systemic risk regulator. One graph that really got my attention in your piece, you wrote, for its part, Wall Street is pushing a systemic risk regulator because it knows it can game any such system. Really? What are banks' tools for influencing the Fed?
Well, it's not so much. Certainly, there's. It's not just the Fed, but it's more the entire political environment, all of the elected officials, the staffers on the Hill, the staffers at the Fed. And it's not. This isn't something that would happen immediately. This is more something that happens when you are in a bubble environment, when nobody wants to sort of jump up and be the sort of slow person who says, gee, I don't understand all of this. I think you guys are taking too much risks and we need to do something about it. We saw this bubble mentality really over 20 years, and the same thing will happen again.
Nicole, we have to leave it there. Nicole Gelinas of the Manhattan Institute, thanks for joining me on the Financial 411.
Thank you, Amy.